Right on, right on, right on. Live right.
Live right.
In the real world. Right on radio.
Right on radio.
Thick face. All is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, yeah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. More than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. You're looking into my heart, looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart, into my heart. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. Thank you all for being here. God bless you. I like rules. But today I'm going to break a couple of my own rules for this broadcast. And I think you'll understand why. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, glory to your name, glory to you in heaven. Yes, Lord, it is all about you, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King. You are the living Word. Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit to understand your Word today. And understand the message you are speaking to us on this day, the 10th of April, 2024. Father, your ways and your thoughts are much higher than our ways, and no one can understand perfectly the things of the Spirit and certainly your ways. But Lord, your word is clear. Your actions were clear. Your proclamation of your love for us, your shedding of your blood for the redemption of our sins. Lord, forgive us if we have not worshiped you completely in the spirit of truth. Lord, forgive us if we've ever put idols before you. Lord, let us repent. Turn from the evil ways, even of our flesh, Lord, that we may put you in the rightful place in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit of God, that even when we don't have the right words, it corrects us because your Spirit searches us from the depths, from the most intimate parts. Lord, and you know our true hearts, and you know our true redeemed condition. Lord, even if we still struggle. So, Father, I thank you for the privilege of reading your scripture today. I understand your warnings about those who teach. Lord, I thank you for the fear of God. Lord, I pray that your word ministers to the hearts of each one who hears this. Lord, in the spirit of truth. Lord, that your word will go forward in power in each one of our lives. And Lord, I thank you for the timing of this chapter. Lord, you're perfect in all your ways. And we just simply humbly come before you and say, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Glory to your name. Thank you for this community. I thank you for each one. I pray healing in those who need your touch that are here in this community. Lord, not only in the physical, but in the mental and the spiritual. Lord, in all things, strengthen our legs. Bring us together closer as a community. And Lord, as your word in this chapter reminds us that people divided against each other will collapse. So Lord, I pray for greater unity. And Lord, I pray your word teaches us who we truly are in Christ Jesus. I ask all these things and I honor you, my Lord. Amen. Well, I was going to play the shofar this morning as I felt it was going to be appropriate. And as I was walking my dog, the song just was repeating in my head, and I really think it goes along with this show or this reading. I shouldn't call the Bible studies a show. I guess technically it is, but I don't feel it's a show. I think this is just a gathering of our togetherness and in honor of our King. I'm going to read some verses from another chapter. That's one of the rules that I'm going to break, because I don't normally do what I call biblical gymnastics during these. I think the Lord has assembled his word. Now, normally when I study, I want to be clear. I do look in other scriptures. But for the purpose of the study, it's always been on my heart to stay within the container of a chapter, because I think the Lord has method in doing that. And not a lot of people will do that and just consider why and the order and his purposes in that. And I think because of the way we study here on Sundays, that, well, I think he's speaking to us about the times, quite honestly. And I may even, depending on the time, play some additional little clips and maybe just a tiny little bit of intel ahead of tomorrow, the eclipse. I do think it's a big deal. I'm telling you. When God says these things are for signs and seasons, and, you know, God's hand is certainly upon this. And when even, you know, the enemy's camp is saying all kinds of things about this, I think, well, we need to consider it. And I'm not pretending to be a prophet or a predictor, but I will share my opinion based on everything that I've seen, and including this chapter, which really cemented some things for me. And as I mentioned last week in the show I did on it, when God gives these signs from the heavens, there, his message is always the same. It's repent. Repent. Go on your knees before the Lord. Turn to him. Get right with God. And I just have a feeling, and, you know, maybe not everything tomorrow, but I really think you got to fasten your seatbelt for a little bit. Anyways, we'll get into it. It's super interesting. I think you're going to see some things that I've never heard anyone talk about. And I just, you know, I'm not saying I'm the first guy to ever get revelation on this, but I've never heard anyone say some of the things that I've seen in this chapter. So we will continue on. Oh, good morning. Just looking at the chat real quick. We have Alaska in the house again. Thank you for getting up so early. And of course, we have all the rock here. By the way, speaking of rock, and there's going to be a very specific message in this chapter about who your actual family is. Most of you have probably read the chapter, so it's not a spoiler alert, but join the Write On community. Go to writeonu.com. That's RIGHTON letter U. .com, and then just hit community. It's going to become important, folks. I suggest that it will be. And it's actually really good. There's great content up there. So, and I thank you for all the contributions that have been there. And Misty River, you've been on fire. And by the way, I cannot find that how to make the apple cider vinegar. I cannot find that post, and I know it's there. So please help. I'm going to pick up in verse 30, which is where we left off. And I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. We're going to have to revisit some of the beginnings of the chapter just for context to really go through this. But I'm going to read from 30 to the end of the chapter. This is Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 30. The one who is not with me is against me, and the one who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Either assume the tree to be good, as well as its fruit good, or assume the tree to be bad, as well as its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, express any good things? For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. The good person brings out of his good treasure good things, and the evil person brings out of his evil treasure evil things. But I tell you that for every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves a sign, and so no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the stomach of the sea monster for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Now, when the unclean spirit comes out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put into order. Then it goes and brings along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they come in and live there. And the last condition of the person becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will also be with this evil generation." While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, "Look, your mother and brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you." But Jesus replied to the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And extending his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the richness of this chapter. Lord, I pray you guard my tongue in this. And if I say anything false, Lord, I pray it falls off the ears of anyone who hears. And Lord, that you'll bring immediate correction in my spirit. But Lord, I give you full permission to speak through me. Lord, I believe that you can, will, because of your love for your people. In Jesus' name I pray. There is so much here, folks. I'm going to talk about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people have some confusion. It's probably been for most of us, when we've read it in the past, it's probably been somewhat of a concern to us. And I want to start out with, actually, I'm just going to go back to, you got to remember the beginning of the chapter, you know, they brought the man with the clubbed hand, sat him in the front row of the synagogue, you know, to tempt Jesus to heal him on a Saturday. They're trying to set him up. He heals the man despite it and, you know, tells him why. And, you know, the Pharisees, he knows their hearts. And he's constantly battling against them. And then in verse 22, it says, then a demon-possessed man was blind and unable to speak. We covered this last week, was brought to Jesus and was healed him. So the man was unable to speak and he could see. All the crowds were amazed and saying, this man cannot be the son of David. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, listen to this, this man accusing Jesus, the Pharisees, casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons, and knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself, and we went through this last week, so I'm not going to redo it, but he says, you know, it obviously it isn't Beelzebub, and I'm much greater, and he says, you know, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. So he's telling of his authority. And then he does the line in the sand. You're with me or you're against me. There is no other. And that goes for each one of us. Each person in the world. Every person in this world with the age of accountability, who has been presented the gospel, has made a choice. And you have to remember, I'm thinking of the song lyric because it's brilliant. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Just for fun, if anyone of you knows that song, put it in the chat. So verse 31, let's tackle this one right away. I want you to hear the beginning of this in particular. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. But did you catch the first part of verse 31? Jesus speaking, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. And, you know, those of us who were not born saved and had to choose, you know, there's probably a time in your life when you've stubbed your toe and you repeated what the word what the world says when they do that, when they call on the name of the Lord, and it's blasphemous. You're saying his name in vain. Jesus is saying, look, it's going to be forgiven. It's okay. Don't do it now. Now that you're saved, I don't think it's possible to do it now that you're saved. But he says every sin will be forgiven. Not some of them, all of them. But there's two places in the Bible that I've found, maybe there's more, but I've only found two, where there is no redemption. And one of them is taking the mark. If you as a Christian take the mark, you're done. You're burning. Hate to tell you. Maybe we should practice fasting in advance of that time, if it happens in our lifetime. So what is blaspheming against the Spirit? Oh, hey, Brad is here. Brad, my brother. Good to see you, man. Put in the chat if you know what blaspheming the Spirit is. And, you know, God doesn't put these mysteries in the Bible, well, I don't think too often, there's probably a couple, without giving you the answer. And how do you find the answer? Well, you be the Berean. And you search out God's word for it. And this one is so easy. I can't believe it's confounded so many people, and it really has. Oh, no one's putting it in the chat yet. I know there's probably a slight delay. Okay, I'll just give it 10 seconds. All right, I'm going to tell you that the answer is found in Mark. All right, no one's putting it in. I'm not going to waste time. The very same passage is found in Mark chapter 3. Verses 28 to 30. Let me read it to you. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the sons and daughters of men, and whatever blasphemies they commit. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Sounds like the same thing, right? Same story? Agreed? But Mark gives just this little extra snippet, and it's in verse 30. And it says, because, so that's joining it, but is guilty of an eternal sin, because they were saying, and he's talking about the Pharisees, he has an unclean Spirit. So accusing God of being evil or doing the works of the devil is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And it is an unforgivable sin. Now, I would suggest to you that being born again, it's impossible for you to do that. Because the Holy Spirit lives within you. It just can't happen. Don't try it. Don't try it. But what's interesting here, and I've never heard anyone really come out and boldly say it, but I'm going to. There's a couple things I'm going to boldly say in this particular study, and it's not going to be easy for you. It isn't for me. But you have to understand, he just called the Pharisees the sons of the serpent. You see, they always said, well, we're the chosen people. We're born of the seed of Abraham. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the tree bearing bad fruit and good fruit. Does that remind you of the two trees in the garden? Again, what do trees produce? Seed. Goes back to the two trees in the garden. And which tree are you from? Now, if someone is from the one tree, they can still find salvation. But note what Jesus is saying here. He calls them sons of the serpent. And they just accused him of casting out demons by the spirit of Beelzebub. Jesus looked right at them, and I'm paraphrasing here, just for, he said it in much more eloquent words, but let me just say it to you. Jesus looked right at the Pharisees. He said, "You are going to eternal damnation." This is Jesus, you know, the judge. Harsh. He looked right. There's no uncertain terms. When you read this in context, Jesus is saying, "You're going to hell." Wow. He gets into the fruits, and we know we're to judge. We don't judge the person. That's above our pay grade. That's Jesus's job. But we'll know people by their fruits. And, you know, we've studied this before. I'm not going to beat it up because there's so much more here. But right in verse 34, he goes, "You offspring of vipers." He's talking about the serpent. "How can you," he's pointing his finger at them, "being evil, express any good things? For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart." The good person brings out of his good treasure good things, and the evil person brings out of his evil treasure evil things. And I'm just going to stop there. Look, it's too easy, and I just want to make sure I don't miss the point. I know most of you will already be thinking this right now, but we have to guard what we put in to our container. What treasure are you gathering each day? Because what you gather is what's going to come out. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm really praying personally, because you know what, I know lots of Christians, but I don't know lots of Christians that I have anything in common with other than, you know, our love for God. And I'm really praying for some godly relationships in my life, you know, like a good friend that maybe shares some common interests, like maybe motorcycles or something. And Lord's put something on my heart that I'm going to attempt this year to help get that going a bit more, because I have to put in my words, but I want to surround myself with better people. Quite honestly, I'm not surrounded by very many people at all right now. I've been very antisocial for the last 4 years. Not that has any benefit of the Bible study, but I'm just using it as an example that I want to start surrounding myself with more treasure. Okay, this part's going to be harsh. Verse 36, Jesus speaking once again, "But I tell you that for every careless word that the people speak, they will give an account of on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So what are careless words? Is Jesus telling us not to have meaningless conversations? Like, I get it. Sometimes we talk about the weather, especially Canadians talk about the weather. And, you know, it's a way of just starting a conversation. I get it. I'm not saying you're going to be condemned by that, or you're not going to be condemned. You're not going to be losing salvation, but you're going to hold an account. Because obviously, Jesus being the Word of God being so powerful, it spoke creation out, the Word of God being sharper than a two-edged sword, apparently what comes out of our mouths matters. And I had a picture in my head this morning, and it's going to hurt some of y'all. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it because it's on my heart. How many people have I encountered, and myself included? I've been rescued from this, thankfully. Talk sports. Could be a number of other things, but let's just talk sports for a second. Some people are so full of sports knowledge, they know every quarterback, they know every statistic, they're making game day predictions, No, they're going to run these plays. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. How much meaning is there in those words? And can you imagine the person who's dedicated their life to sports, other than maybe if someone gets paid for it, that's probably an exception, I guess, because you're providing entertainment services. I don't know. I'm just speaking from the heart. But, you know, the people who just sit in the bar and they talk sports all day and, look at that. And how many years of their life, decades, talking sports. And maybe they're even saved at some point. Gonna stand before Jesus, his words, not mine. But I tell you, for every careless word that the people speak, they'll give an account for. You're going to sit there in front of Jesus and go, oh my goodness, I wasted my life. I could have been speaking life into people. And I get it now that I'm standing in front of you, Lord. And there's going to be regret. And sports isn't the only thing. Look, I could talk Harley motors all day long. I could, there's so many things. Women, you could be talking about crocheting. And actually, you know, it might be good. It might not be useless. If you're talking about crocheting, and I don't know why that just came to my mind, but you could be saying, well, what if you did this pattern and something like that? And, you know, it's helping to have someone make clothes or an afghan for someone. It could be a blessing. That might be a good conversation. But, man, this really put a check in my spirit. Our words should be seasoned with salt. Yeah, amen. Oh, gossip. Oh, yeah. Please forgive me. Each one of us can say that. And by the way, as Christians, we say, well, you know, I really need you to pray for this person. And then you put out all their dirty laundry. That's gossip. Great scripture, sweet Southern girly. Set a watch over my tongue, Father. It's a prayer that's being put out there right now. Yes. Amen. Verse 38. Is it okay if this goes a little bit long, folks? You might hear, I hope my mic isn't picking up my stomach rumbling. Oh my goodness. It's embarrassing. It's loud. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet." Wow. It's interesting that he brings up Jonah here, isn't it? Because, you know, this eclipse is going through a town called Jonah, and it's going past a whole bunch of Ninevehs. It's actually going through a town called Rapture as well. And the focal point of the X is on Little Egypt. "For just as Jonah was in the stomach of the sea monster for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." So he's already told them, look, you guys are going to hell. And that isn't every Pharisee. Obviously, Paul was a Pharisee and he came out of it. So he's not condemning Pharisees and Sadducees as groups, but he was saying to those ones in front of him. And he's telling them here, because they've seen him. They just earlier in this chapter, he just restored someone's hand. He just cast out demons. And they're like, "Oh, show us another sign. Put on a show, Jesus," because they wanted to accuse him of more things. That's obviously what's in their heart. They do it every time. So, you know, we could pick up from that pattern. And he calls them an evil and adulterous generation, craves a sign, but no sign will be given. But then he tells them, he foretells of his crucifixion. And he tells them what's going to happen. And after they put him to death, and you have to understand, there's a debate. Well, the Romans were actually the ones who did it. Folks, the Pharisees and the Sadducees set the whole thing up. They were the murderers. Now, the Romans carried it out, no doubt. But you have to remember as well, and we've learned this in some of our studies of the oral laws that were passed down through the Pharisees, you know, their Talmud and stuff like that, their extra scriptures outside of the Torah, that say, well, actually, you can murder as long as you're not the one who does it. So they thought they're admonished from sin. Let's see how good their laws hold up. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. He's saying, I'm standing right in front of you. And then he gives another verse 42, the queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it. So he gives the example of the people of Nineveh, which was a horrible town, but they repented. And by the way, it's not recorded in the Bible, but there's a lot of people in the scientific Christian community that have taken back the, you know, the solar, the astronomy or whatever, astronomy of the universe and stuff like that, and put an eclipse at the time of Jonah in Nineveh. Now, the Bible doesn't record that, so I'm not saying it's true, but you know, Jonah, who did not like the people of Nineveh, did not want to go there, went there and gave a tough message. Just repent. You got 40 days or God's going to destroy you. And the entire city repented. And Jonah didn't give any signs. So, you know, was there an eclipse? It says Jonah, there was no sign given. So I don't know. Kind of makes sense that it would be just like the there was an eclipse essentially at the time of Jesus' crucifixion when he passed. You know, the earth went dark and the earth shook, by the way. But contrasting to that, he then goes on to say the Queen of the South. And you remember the Queen of Sheba, who journeyed, you know, a long way, probably about 1,000 miles. I think it was from Ethiopia up to meet King Solomon because she had heard of this wisdom that he was granted from God. And she so craved the wisdom of God that she went and sought it out. And now these Pharisees, if they had really sought through their scriptures, which they were supposed to be experts in, they were the teachers of the day. They were the special chosen people. And that they didn't search it out. They didn't want Jesus to be the Messiah. They're waiting for their Messiah to be a conqueror, to rule this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, the Messiah that they're waiting for is going to be the Antichrist. I hope you've put that together. And then it sounds weird because he immediately goes on and talks about this unclean spirit that comes out of a person. And I'll tell you, I had to look up in some Bible commentaries for some answers here to give you. It makes sense what I'm about to tell you, but I'm really not 100% sure. Now, when the unclean spirit comes out of a person, it passes through the waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it brings along with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they come in and live there. And the last condition of the person becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will also be with this evil generation. Why would Jesus say that? He's still talking to the Pharisees here. He's talking to everyone, and he's giving a parable. He's speaking in riddles so they won't get it. But think of the time the Jews were back in the homeland and God gave Nebuchadnezzar permission to go and conquer it. And for 70 years, they were in exile. But they repented. And after 70 years, they were brought back into the land of milk and honey. But then what happened? The Gnostic texts, the oral traditions, these books that have become to them their gospels, that have been attached to the Torah. So they read the Torah, but really, all the laws are in these other books because there's extra laws. We've made amendments to explain and tell us how we can work around certain laws of God. And I think Jesus is predicting the future here. Well, in retrospect, he was. He was saying, when the spirit, when you were cast out, when demons are cast out of you, and you're given another chance, you did not fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. You see, it says, it comes back. Yes, the vessel was swept clean, but it's unoccupied. The Holy Spirit is not in there. You see, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, unclean spirits cannot come into you. You cannot be possessed. You can be harassed by them. Fair game. Especially when we leave openings in our lives. Fair game. The devil goes to Jesus and says, hey, Jeff just did this. The Lord says, yeah. Yeah, we can. I think there's a lesson to be learned there. Go ahead. And now, when we look at the particular people that he was speaking to here, which is, and let's face it, he called them the synagogue of Satan. They now, for the most part, when you look at who runs the banks, who funds all the wars, sounds like it's seven times worse, doesn't it? I think Jesus' words here, if it's being interpreted the right way, certainly came true. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and his brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus replied to the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? As a question, he did not say, and I want to be clear, this is no slight against his mother. Jesus would have never done that. And he certainly didn't want to do it against his brothers, even though some of them were not believing at the time. But he just put it as the question. But then he answers it. And extending his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Do you see? He's telling us, and it's not just those in the right-on community, obviously. It's all believers. But those who you're speaking with in chat, and even, I dare to say, I am your brother. You are my sister or my brother as well. We are a family. And I know sometimes in families, families can be really harsh to each other. I'm telling you, I think the time is here when we need to stop that. Just even in this chapter, no kingdom that is divided can stand. So in this chapter, oh, there's so much. Let me just go back and do a recap and go right back to the beginning. I think I pretty much covered what I need to in this chapter here, but I want to make sure I didn't forget anything. It's 50 verses, so there's a lot. Oh, yeah. So it starts out with the disciples going through and picking the grain. And they're separating the grain from the chaff, essentially, because they wanted to eat, but it was on the Sabbath. So it's an example of the dividing line. There's a dividing line that's coming, and Jesus declares he is Lord over the Sabbath. He talks about if there's a sheep, who wouldn't go dig it out of the well? And when he said that, the Pharisees went to conspire to kill him. And Jesus, aware of this, withdrew and went to another place. And he went to do that so he would fulfill the scriptures. And he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. So right there, Jesus reveals the mystery of God, that it wasn't just for the, air quotes, chosen people. We are Israel. Whether you are a direct son of Abraham or you're a Gentile, it's all of us who have accepted Jesus Christ. We are Israel. And then they tried to set him up he did the healing on the Sabbath. Then they bring a blind man to speak to him, and he's deaf and mute. And that was it's basically the devil's trying to get you not to speak about God. You know, you're scared to. People might think bad of you. Oh, you're one of those. That's a ploy of the devil, folks. Then he goes on to say that every kingdom divided. Now, I just want to talk to you about this, and I'm saying all this for basically the eclipse. And by the way, thank you for those of you who are watching. I'm always looking at the Rumble feed here, but thank you for the people watching on the other platforms, and thank you for those likes as well. I should tell you guys, we're getting like on Sundays now, I'm getting like 70 people on Facebook watching the shows and watching the Bible study, and probably about the same on Twitter even, which is a significant number in my opinion. So they accuse him. They accuse Jesus of casting out and the unpardonable sin. Jesus says a house divided against itself. Look at the West right now, the West in particular. And when I say the West, I'm talking the English-speaking countries in particular, you know, Australia, Britain, even European nations. Some of them, but America, Mexico, Canada, we're heavily divided. And it says here that a kingdom cannot survive. I personally think there's a change coming. But it's interesting when we think of the eclipse, and I'm not saying anything's going to happen on Monday. I'm not saying that. But I do feel it's important. And I do think the next short while, and this year in particular, we're going to understand where things are going. But when I look at even what I'm seeing, you know, on mainstream media and stuff like that, people aren't tolerating this diversity thing, the trans agenda anymore. People are not tolerating this, even if, you know, liberals aren't even tolerating it anymore. They realize how bad it is. Now, liberals might say what you do in your bedroom is your own business. And quite honestly, It's my opinion too. You stand before God. I can't. I'll tell you that it's sinful. But there's a big swing happening right now. And I think, you know, the far left and just the ridiculousness of how obvious it's become in the last few years in particular, you know, that Biden, whoever's playing Biden isn't him, it's a mask. Like, you can see it. And there's all these different things, whether God is creating them or God's allowing the enemy to do it. Who knows? But after I did the show on Friday, I'm sure all of you were aware of the earthquake that happened in New Jersey, in Lebanon, New Jersey. Right where Trump's thing is, apparently, according to news, happened to be the center of it, is a golf club. Like, Trump's the center of the earthquake. Weird. But it was reported on the news that the earthquake was 4.8 on the Richter scale. Today's the 7th. I think I said it was the 10th earlier. I'm really mixed up on dates these days. I apologize. I got to clarify something else as well. But the eclipse is happening on 4/8, April 8th. And then there's a clip, it's on Telegram right now, of the Fox News reporter, the guy who used to cover the Trump thing, John, is his name. He was the guy in the White House briefing room during Trump presidency. He was talking about the 4.8 Richter scale event that happened in New Jersey, being focused at the Trump's golf club. And he says, and get ready, because that's there's more to come. I'm paraphrasing, but he says for the earthquake that's going to happen on Monday, the eclipse earthquake. And it just so happens, there happens to be this fault line, and it's at this little Egypt place where the crosshairs of the two eclipses from the last 7 years are. There's also a place called the Devil's Table, and it's like the target, and there's a fault line there. And it's one of the worst earthquakes in the United States history. Happened right around there in 1811. So I hate to sound like a gnar guy, but is there going to be a shaking? Well, I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. It kind of sounds like both sides are saying to you, and man has the ability to cause these earthquakes. Make no mistake in it. They've got the technology. You can easily find it, find the patents, the earthquake machines. It's Tesla stuff. So whether it's God or man trying to fulfill scripture or whatever, I really think that there's some tough times ahead. And I'm just considering the timing of this chapter. So please know that that's where this is coming from. And he uses the example of Jonah and Nineveh. And it says the people repented. And I think that that pendulum is about to swing from the far left to the far right. And, you know, I've given some opinions, and that's all they are, on what I think is going to happen after that. But it certainly sounds like things are coming into focus. And you know what? There's a video. I was going to play it. I'm just going to share it on Telegram. I'm going to do it right now. that was sent to me by one of the listeners, and it was just a awesome little video. Let me do this right now. Forward. I'm going to put it onto the Right On Radio main channel. And it's just this little kid right after the earthquake giving a little message, and, you know, out of the mouths of babes. I think it'll give you hope. You know, don't place all your eggs in one basket, of course, but we have to look for signs. But just know that God will always take care of us. He always does. So unusual that I broke my rules today and did a little bit of intel and did a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But I just pray that you understand why. And, you know, there's a time date with this thing happening tomorrow. Oh, times. On. I've been giving the wrong date in April. I think I looked at the wrong date on my calendar and I picked a Wednesday. But I've been saying April 17th, wrong. I will put out notices everywhere. If you follow me anywhere, I will put out corrections. But we're doing a special prayer meeting. It's going to be this Wednesday. Oh, no. No, it is right. It is April 17th. Never mind. I'm telling you, I don't know why I'm so messed up on dates these days. But, okay, anyways, Wednesday the 17th of April, we're going to do a very special prayer meeting. It's on Wednesday. It's going to be on Telegram. There's going to be teaching. I will be giving some teaching. The members of the prayer team will be doing some teaching. And then we're going to have our regular prayer meeting. You should know that this is the high season of occultic practice. In fact, this event tomorrow is going to be one of the, there, trust me, all these occulty people are doing their thing. This is a special time for them. It's a special time for us as well. So in your prayers today, and I'll even say it, let's just pray against it. And I think the Lord is putting confusion in there. I said that the other day. I believe it. I feel it in my spirit. I feel comfort in it that the Lord is doing something here. I really do. So join us on that Wednesday at 7:30. It's on Telegram. If you're not part of our Telegram channels, please join us on Telegram. We've got the chat channel. We've got the Digs channel. We've got the main channel. And I also have one called Right On Radio Shows, where you just find all the shows. There's nothing else on there. Appreciate you. Follow me on Twitter as well, if you can. I've got a really small account on Twitter, so it's harder for me to get guests because they don't realize, you know, I used to have a big account on Twitter. But I got kicked off twice, and my account hasn't been restored. So, and I don't really care, but if I get a couple thousand people when I reach out to guests, they might take me a bit more seriously than just, you know, an account with 400 people or whatever it is. I'll do a quick prayer for anyone. If you have a prayer, you can put it, or a prayer or a praise report. You can put it in. Please use all caps, and I'll pray for anyone that needs it, or give a testimony. Twitter is a cancer. Yeah. I agree. It's a bit of a cesspool. And by the way, everyone's saying it's a free platform. It's not. Try putting in Synagogue of Satan and you disappear, or the tweet will disappear. I'm telling you, you can't. Certain things, it's not a free platform. It might be more free than the others. It's not free. I've got a good show in mind. I'm just killing a little bit of time for this week. Probably a couple of shows this week. And one I've been considering for a long time. And I think I have a good take on a particular subject that's going to affect all of our lives that I'm going to talk about. I think I'm ready to do a show on AI. And because of some of my experiences in the last month, I've really have some personal revelation that I think we will, that will be beneficial for you to learn. So look forward to a show. And please pray that the Lord gives me even more knowledge on the subject and that I represent it properly. Because it's kind of like predicting the future. And but I just know some of the dangers that no one is talking about. And what, I'm going to bring one of those out there. Please pray for my grown children. They need to turn to God, all five of them. Yes, that is a prayer that the Lord wants to honor, and he wants to honor you in it as well. I'll just give 10 more seconds to see if there's anything else that comes up there. During that 10 seconds, I'm just going to say, listen, I appreciate each one of you that supports the show. Numerous ways. We have a patron on Podbean. I don't do anything special for you. I don't, there's no hidden knowledge or anything like that. I want God to be your rewarder. If he puts it on your heart, I believe in God, but I believe he uses people. And if I don't ask it, I don't get donations. And I know about four people. I lost about four patron supporters this week, probably just due to credit card processing, but maybe that's you. It is the speakers company it's being billed through. I also have PayPal and this new super easy donor box where you don't have to put in a password or anything like that. It's just real easy to support me. And I thank you. I pray that God will be your reward. Okay, I've got one more, and that is travel safety and kids keep peace while I'm gone for 10 days. Absolutely. I know some of you are traveling when this, there could be some high congestion and stuff. And, you know, I personally would not be going to the focal point in Indiana, not because of fear. But I just don't think it's wise. And even in this chapter, he talks about the wisdom of Solomon. Look, if the roads are going to be congested, you know, even if the highway restrooms, they're going to be packed, folks. You know, it's going to be hard logistically. I would not go into those areas. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your many blessings on our lives. Thank you for this beautiful day. Yeah, Lord, to feel the warmth of the sun, Lord. And I say that even metaphorically, Lord, that the warmth of your word, the warmth of your loving kindness in our lives. But Lord, metaphorically, the sun speaks of you because it gives life. And Lord, the warmth I feel from it today is just such a beautiful thing. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for these five children, for Verena. I hope I said that right. Verena. Lord, five adult children. Lord, I pray that you send your angels and that you would, I'll ask that you send your angels, Lord, and they will start ministering to each one of them. And Lord, that you'll also send ministers to them, people that they'll trust and people who will speak the truth in love to them. Lord, that they would come upon decision, Lord, that they will know to at least consider their ways, Lord, and consider your truths. Lord, I pray for their ultimate salvation, each one of them, Lord, and I pray that it happens in a timely period. Lord, as I think time is of the essence right now, Lord. Lord, perhaps through your signs and maybe even a shaking, many more people are going to repent, just like the people of Nineveh did. Lord, I pray that over these five children. Lord, bless each one of them. Bring them into the kingdom and bless their mother and their father. And Father, I also want to pray for travel safety. Lord, for all those traveling, and Slupski in particular here, Lord, but for all of those in this community that are traveling, Lord, I pray that you direct them and give them wisdom on the routes to take. Lord, I pray for traveling mercies, for each one of them. I pray for their safety. Lord, that they don't get caught up in anything that is not meant for them, Lord. So, Lord, I put your protection on all those who are traveling during this time. I pray protection for all those who live in the areas that may be affected even just by the crowds or by whatever happens, Lord, if anything at all. I pray for protection over each of our eyes if we look at it, Lord, that there will be no harm done. And Lord, I ask these things in faith and true belief that, God, these are prayers that you love to answer. We're not asking for signs just so we, those of us who are praying this prayer right now, would believe, because we do believe. And Lord, finally, just like that song, and I pray this over North America in particular, Lord, the people of North America, Mexico, United States, and Canada, that just like that song, forgive us for the things that we've done. Forgive us for what we've made worship. Lord, bring us back to the heart of worship. Because it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, King Jesus. Amen. Thanks for being here, everyone. May God bless each and every one of you. Remember, be loved. Because when God looks at you, he says, and I pray I'm just his vessel speaking on his behalf now, and it's words from the Bible, so I can say that these are his words. Be loved. Yes, you be loved. Be blessed. Be the Berean and know God intimately. If you want to hear his voice, read his word. Spend time with him. Feel the warmth from the sun. And simply believe.